You know, the Bible study that we started this week on Moses, I have to tell you, it's been the most fun Bible study I've ever done in my life. I mean, it's actually so much fun that I said to my wife, this is a Bible study? You know, you kind of didn't want the night to end because it was just so cool, the stuff we were seeing. We think we know the story of the Exodus till you get into it. So it's just amazing the little things that you see God's hand. And so I really encourage you. It's not too late to start if you haven't been yet. We've got 3 more weeks that we will be studying this passage and then going together to watch the movie when it came out so we can kind of compare things. And obviously the Bible's true and what we see on TV, the movies won't be exactly right, but it'll be fun to do that together. But right now, if you have your Bibles, and if you need a Bible, if you would just raise your hands and one of our ushers would hand you a Bible. We're going to give God glory for his word. If you would just pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. We just finished a series on hearing God's voice, and it was amazing to see how many people opened up their hearts and their minds to God in new ways that they never thought they could before, as some of the feedback that I've received from the message series. And if you missed it, you can listen to it on the website. The only one that did not come out was last week's message, so we apologize for that. But as I prayed over what's next, Lord, it's like, okay, we've learning to hear God's voice, and God is speaking. What now? What do we do with that? How do we move forward? And the Lord put on my heart a 3-part series, Pursuing God's Heart. Pursuing God's Heart. Now, Jeremiah 29:13 says this, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You will seek me and you will find me when you will search for me with all your heart. Now, when the Bible says seek, it's not a noun. It is a verb. When the Bible talks about seek the Lord, seek him, it's talking about actively pursuing him. There's a difference between our modern day understanding of the word seek and the intent of the word in the Bible. When we seek the Lord, we're chasing after the Lord. We're pursuing the Lord with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. So before we go on any further, I kind of want to do something a little different this morning than I normally do. I want to get some feedback from you. I want to ask a couple of questions, and I just want to hear your responses, and I'm going to repeat your responses just so we can get those responses recorded here. But I want to ask the first question is, what does it mean to you to pursue God's heart? If you were to say, hey, I'm chasing after God, I'm pursuing God's heart, what does that mean to you in your own words? Don't be shy now. Just shout it out. Mm-hmm. Dwelling in his word, okay. To think and act the way God acts. Okay? Anyone else? Think about it. What does it mean to you? Or have you even ever thought about chasing after God and what that means? But if you have, what does that mean, Amory? Okay, putting your whole life in his hands and praying and trusting him in those things. Okay? Anything else? Okay. It's his desire for you that he's put inside your heart. Your growth in him. Okay, great. Anyone else? Well, let me ask the second question. In your own faith journey, how have you pursued God's heart in your life? How have you chased after him? Through prayer? Okay, so after your husband passed away 6 years ago, you chased after God. Okay. Through fellowship. Anything else? Brian? I'm sorry, can you repeat that? Through love, thought, and what do you do with your life and how you do it? Okay, how you treat other people. Anything, Rebecca? Meditation on his word? Okay. Those are all great, great answers. And when I looked up the word pursue in the dictionary, found out several meanings. We have that up there. To follow in order to overtake. So you're not just chasing, you're chasing to overtake something. To follow close upon, stay real tight to. To strive to gain, to seek to attain, to proceed in accordance with. So you're following a certain pattern. If the thing you're seeking turns left, you're going to turn left. They turn right, you're going to turn right. You're going in accordance with. To carry on or continue. I love this one. To continue to annoy, afflict, or trouble. And when I think about that one, I think about the story in the New Testament where we're supposed to knock on the door, even to the point of annoying the house owner's life till he finally opens up the door. So you're knocking and you're knocking and you're knocking till he gives in and you wear him out and they open up the door. So you annoy them to death and to practice. Now, as I said, there's a difference between seeking and pursuing. Seeking is just looking. Pursuing, there's more of a heart attitude to it. You're emotionally, mentally invested, and spiritually, when it comes to God, invested in what you're seeking. You're not seeking for the sake of knowledge alone, but you're seeking to invest your life into it. Mentally, emotionally, physically, whatever it might be. So we're not just looking for information, we're finding our place within that. So as I thought about this, thought about some questions we need to ask ourselves. And I'm just throwing these out there for you to think about, write down, whatever, take home with you, meditate on. What am I exactly supposed to pursue? And these questions all came out as God was giving me this message series, and I was thinking to myself, okay, if I never chased after God before, what questions would I have? So this is coming from my heart. What am I exactly supposed to pursue or chase after? What am I pursuing? Why do I need to pursue his heart? What's the point and purpose of it? What does it even mean to pursue God's heart? How do I pursue his heart? What happens when I pursue God's heart? So what's going on with me? What's happening to me as I pursue his heart? And will I ever catch what I pursue? And what do I do with it when I catch it? So this is the kind of stuff that went through my mind as I was praying and meditating over this. And then thought about something else. There's an obstacle that we all face in seeking or pursuing or chasing after God's heart. And it's a huge one. Obstacle is called pride. And the Bible makes it clear. Psalm 10:4 says this, in the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not pursue God, does not chase after God's heart, does not seek God's face, his hand, his wisdom, his knowledge, the things of him. In the pride of his face. So how does pride get in the way? Well, it comes in very strange ways. Some of them are touched on earlier. Sometimes in our shame and humility, and I'm not talking about good humility, but in our shame, our pride keeps us from confessing to God, from laying it in front of God. Sometimes our attitudes get in the way. This is the way I am. I'm not going to change, God. Sometimes our thoughts, our pride about what others think of us will get in the way. I don't want them to think I'm some kind of Bible thumper or Jesus freak or whatever. There are different little ways, subtle ways that pride will get in the way. I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to believe that. For those of us here who believe in the gift of tongues, I've heard people say, well, yeah, I believe in tongues, but it's not for me. I don't want it. When the Bible clearly says it's for everybody. Little things like that keep us even just that much from being able to fully chase after, pursue, to attain God's heart. Little things. Maybe commitments. Oh, I love the Lord. I love to do this, but you know what? I'm going to commit to this instead. Or this is more important than that. Pride creeps in subtle ways. Very, very subtle ways. And we need to be aware of that. And each one of us knows our own prideful tendencies. And anytime, how can you figure that out? Anytime you feel shut down or clammed up, check that. Anytime God is speaking or somebody God is using is speaking to you, his word, or you read something in his word, or you hear a song and say, that's not for me. Or, whoa, I'm not going to accept that or believe that. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Anytime you just shut it down that quickly without taking it to God in prayer first, that's our pride getting in the way. And I'll be the first to tell you. There are times, you know, Bible says edify one another. When my wife has to confront me about certain things, and I've had to learn to, instead of react emotionally because of my pride, I'm the man, I'm the priest of my home, I'm this, I'm that, who is she to tell me what to do or tell me I'm wrong? You know, I have to stop. Stop. Lord, is what you're saying true? Pride will get in the way. Not one of us is immune to it. One of us. So going from this point on, we're going to look at three things. How do we pursue God's heart? Why do we pursue God's heart? And the rewards or benefits of pursuing God's heart. Today, we're going to focus on the why. And we'll look at this. A couple of things with the why we pursue God's heart. First thing is, it's kind of simple. God is looking for somebody who will chase after him. Why should I chase God? Why should I pursue his heart? One, he's looking for somebody to chase after him. He wants me. He wants us to chase after him. We are not an annoyance to him. I've heard how many people say, he doesn't want to bother with me. He doesn't hear me because I'm such a sinner. You know, if I go to church, you know, lightning is going to strike the building. No. That's a bunch of excuses where pride is getting in the way. He wants me and you to chase after him. 1 Samuel 13:14 says, but now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord had appointed him as a ruler over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. This is the prophet Samuel speaking to King Saul, who decided to walk away from what God was doing in his life, and God now has anointed a new king to eventually take over the throne, which is David. And he says, "Point, the Lord had sought out for himself a man after his own heart." In Acts 13, 22, it affirms that. After he had removed himself, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will." What does that mean? For so long, I used to think that it only meant that David's heart was like God's heart. And there is an element to that. There's an element to that. All you have to do is read the Psalms, and you can see the heart of God in David's writing. But to be a man after God's own heart, take that literally, too. He is chasing after God's own heart. He's chasing after the who God is, the way God wants things done. He's chasing after God's purpose in his life, in the kingdom of God's life, in the kingdom of Israel's life. He's chasing after those things. When David was on with God, there was nobody more on than David. And when David was off, he hid from God, and then he realized it. When he finally looked his pride in the mirror, he realized it. And, you know, we hear about David, how he spent 7 days not bathing, not eating, not showering, you know, not changing clothes, with ashes and sackcloth, mourning over his son's death because of his sins. So when he recognized and he was truly chasing after God's own heart, there was nobody ever like him other than Jesus himself. God is looking. He said, I sought out for myself a man whose heart is going to chase at me. So it's chasing after him, but it's also in chasing after him, you have that kindred spirit. You have God's heart. Why? Because he's chasing and he's attaining God's heart. As we get closer to God in our chase, what happens? We start to notice things about him. If I am standing here and another person is standing outside those doors, I will see the form of the other person. I'll see the color of their shirt, their pants, their shoes. But I'm not going to notice the stripes until I am closer on his shirt. I'm not going to notice the holes in the jeans till I'm even more closer. I'm not going to notice the color of their eyes till I'm right up against them. So as I'm chasing them forward, I'm getting closer to them, I am learning something about them. I am getting closer to them. So as I chase God, I chase his heart, I am learning. I'm growing. I'm getting stronger in the knowledge of his word. I'm getting more comfortable with him in my life. I'm getting more at peace with his Holy Spirit working through me as I'm allowing him, as I'm chasing after him. Holy Spirit, show me what this means in Scripture. And all of a sudden, he shows me something I didn't know before. What happens next time? It becomes easier for me to say, right off the bat, Holy Spirit, before I open up your word, please reveal to me something new today. It becomes easier. Why? Because we have a relationship. We're a growing relationship. This is about the chase as much as it is about anything else. It's the journey of this chase. So God wants someone to chase after him. Matthew 7:7-8, and also it's repeated in Luke 11:19, says this: "Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened." We all know these verses. "For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. He who knocks, it will be opened. See, this is God's promise to us, saying, you chase after me, you will find me. You knock on my door, I will open it up. You look for me, I'm not going to keep playing hide and seek with you. I'll show you me. You seek me in all your ways, in all these things. You come after me. Goes back to what I shared with you earlier, that the statement that been running through my mind. Am I trying to fit God in everything else in my life? Or is my life fitting around God? Chasing after God is fitting my life around him. Figuring out how to fit it around him. I've still got a long way to go to perfect it, to make it right. But it's still a journey, and every day is exciting to learn something not just new about him, but in what he is doing in me. Things he's changing in me as I chase after him. And the same happens to every single one of us as we chase after him. I get the blessing of getting to go to 2 Bible studies each week to kind of help out and learn and grow and work together to develop the leadership there. And in that, I see people chasing after God. I can literally watch and see the growth in people since we started this style of home group Bible study. People who never prayed are praying out publicly and praying in faith and power. People who didn't think they knew anything about the Word of God now are coming up with answers, and they're having questions, which is great, because when you have questions, God is faithful to answer those questions. So we're seeing those things. So it is a blessing to see people chasing after God in such a way. So the first reason why to pursue God's heart is because he's looking for people to pursue his heart. He wants us to, because he wants to work in us and do the great and mighty things that he has set for us to do. Second reason why we need to chase after his heart is in chasing or pursuing God's heart, we realize his passions, which is what someone said earlier, his desire for us. We realize his passions, what means most to him, what matters to him. Be honest with you, I might get excited about the football game this afternoon, whether my team is winning or losing, but that God doesn't care. That's not his passion. He cares about the people that might be involved and how his kingdom is going to be manifested and glorified. That's what he cares about. I might be excited about going to work, but going to work for the sake of going to work, that doesn't excite God. That's not his passion. That's not his desire. He gets excited when I wake up with an attitude that I'm going to work to bring the kingdom of God to my job, to carry that power in there and to change somebody's life and speak life into their lives. That's what he gets excited about. So we realize his passions. If Paul Gibbs in his book, The Cloud and the Line, a vision of God creates a vision for God. I love that. A vision of God creates a vision for God. So as we see God, as we pursue him, we realize in realizing his passions how he wants us to move in those things. So we see his vision for us in those things, and we start moving forward and pressing into it. So what are his passions? And I touched on this briefly a little bit last week, but I want to go a little more deeper into it this week. I look at 3 very, very important things that encompass God's passions. Number 1, salvation. But I'm going to include salvation and making disciples. We're not talking about hit-and-run salvation here. We're talking about leading people to the saving love of Jesus Christ, and then let's teach you how to walk with God. Let's teach you how to grow in God. Let's teach you how to be equipped in everything God has for you in the power of his Spirit. Let's teach you what it means to be filled with his fruit and to walk in his gifts and come together and edify the body in those things and touch people out there in those things. You live in that way. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. John 3:16, 17. I'm sharing these things. I want to reaffirm these things with you, because most of us should know this if we've been in the church more than a few days, if you know what I mean. But sometimes we need to have these things reaffirmed. This is God's passion, first and foremost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What do we mean by salvation? Salvation is I get to spend eternity with God. I get to go back in fellowship with God the way he intended me to be when he first created man. It's the restoration of God's plan for humanity in my life. He's bringing me full circle. So his passion is his people are in fellowship with him. Save the lost and make disciples. In that process, we have fellowship with him. We are returned to fellowship. Second thing about realizing his passions is we understand what it means to grow in his image. Part of the discipleship process is growing in the image of God. It's an awesome thing when somebody recognizes who they are in Christ Jesus. When all of a sudden somebody wakes up one day and says, you know what? I'm a co-heir with Christ to the kingdom of God. I'm a saint. The Bible calls me a saint. I'm a believer. I'm a child of mercy. I'm a priest. Oh my goodness. I'm called more than a conqueror. I'm made in his image. I am wonderfully and fearfully made and created. I'm being perfected every day. I can have all authority to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to preach with power, with signs, wonders, and miracles, because Jesus gave me those things, because God, his Father, bestowed his authority on Jesus, and Jesus gave us that authority in him. Oh my goodness, that's for me? That's walking and growing in the image of God. That's being equipped for every day, for the power of God to come forth. It's having the mind of Christ and the heart of God. It's being able to live victoriously. It's recognizing his authority. I do nothing on my authority, and Jesus made that clear of himself. I do everything under the authority of the one who gave me authority, which is his Father. But it's recognizing that I was given that authority, that I am able to heal, that I am called to be righteous, that I can be holy. Because why? He says, you be holy as God is holy. So if he's telling me to be holy, that means there's a way I can be holy in his eyes. So it's not unattainable in Christ Jesus. So growing in his image is recognizing these things and moving forward in our faith. This is why we need to pursue him, because we get to grow in such a way. We get to see these things. As simple as this sounds, in the last month, the thing that God has been impressing on my heart more than anything else is the simple statement of, there's nothing I could ever do that's going to change his love for me. I've said that, I've shared it in service a couple of different times, but I'm sharing it with you now that it's something God impressed on me. Something so simple that when I heard it most recently, it really clicked in my mind what that means. That his love is never ending. His love is unchanging. And that's the love that he has for me. That's the love that could live inside of me. And that's the love that can come forth out of me when he is in me. That's our God. How awesome is that? That's our God. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with unveiled faces, being transparent, no hiding things, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. We see that we need to grow in His image. We realize His passion is for us to grow. God wants us to go from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord, moving forward, being made holy, being perfected, the process of perfecting. Hebrews 10, 11 through 14 says this, "And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man," Jesus meaning, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. From that time waiting till the enemies are made his footstool, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." It's a process. We are being sanctified. Every day that I chase after God, that I get closer to Him, another part of me is being made pure. Another part of me is being cleansed and made right before God. The word righteous means right before God. So another part of me is being made right before God, righteous. Another part of me is growing. So knowing this, why wouldn't I want to chase after God? Knowing this should inspire me to want to chase after Him even more. And the third element, and this is, we're going to stop after here for today, is talked about knowing that He wants, His passion is to save the lost and make disciples, grow in His image. But His third is glorify His kingdom. It's all about the kingdom of God. Why we pursue God is in pursuing God, we glorify His kingdom. His passion is His Father's kingdom, is Jesus' Father's kingdom. In pursuing Him, we glorify that. Glorify means, literally means, to ascribe glory to adore, to elevate and honor, to reflect glory upon. Elevating the kingdom of God, bringing it to the forefront and making it clear that there is no other kingdom but the kingdom of God, and there's no other God but the God of His kingdom, and that there is no other nation greater, no one greater than God Himself. His kingdom reigns supreme forever. This world wants to tell you the other way. Either there is nothing beyond this plane of existence, or it doesn't matter. Just be good. And you'll be fine. Which means now you're glorifying another kingdom, yours, which is leading to another kingdom. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you were bought at a price, therefore go glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We're told I'm supposed to go and glorify God. In my body, what I do to myself physically, mentally, emotionally, and with my spirit, which is my heart connected to God. Glorify Him. You glorify Him in your spirit, and that presents yourself to glorify Him with your body, with the way you think, the way you act, the way you speak, your attitude, all those things come forth. That's glorifying God. Romans 15:6 says that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we may with one heart, one mind, one mouth bring glory to God. Can you imagine if God's church, the church, would actually wake up and do that and all stand up and glorify God? I don't know if you knew if you've been keeping up with what happened in Houston over the last month or so. Houston mayor passed a bill where if you're struggling with gender identity issues, if you're a girl struggling with your gender identity, you can go in the men's bathroom. And if you're a boy, you can go in the girls' bathroom if you're struggling with gender identity issues. That put a lot of people in outrage, made them very upset. Some pastor stood up and said, "Can't do that, it's not right," for various reasons. The mayor decided that she was going to subpoena every pastor's sermon, specifically five pastors who were kind of leading the charge to try to label them with hate crimes. What happened? The kingdom of God stood up. This mayor's office was inundated with Bibles from all over the world. This went beyond Houston. And pastors from all over the world decided, here you go, here's our sermons. And started sending, emailing sermons like crazy to the point where it's been stopped. Kingdom of God was glorified because his people came together as one. And we're going to put up with the kingdom of this earth being lifted high. His purpose is to glorify God. Jesus, everything Jesus did, said, lived, and breathed, glorified his Father. Ephesians 3:21, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. John 4:34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. That's glorifying the kingdom of God. What happens? What would happen if every single one of us said, my food today, my food will be tomorrow. The thing that brings me life, that nourishes my life, sustains my life, will be to do my Father's will and to bring glory to his kingdom and accomplish his work. How would we change the environment around us if we all rose up like that? John 5:19, therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something that he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Did you know Jesus was chasing his Father's heart? If one of the definitions of pursuing is to proceed in accordance with. He was doing exactly, he was proceeding in accordance with what he saw Heavenly Father do. That's why Jesus chased after his Father's heart. That's what he did. And that's why we need to chase and pursue God's heart. My prayer this morning is that every one of us had Lord hit us with something. Speak to us in a new way about this. Maybe even instill a passion and now more than ever a reason to get into the Word. To start making time. Carving out time ahead of time. Tomorrow I will get up at this time or I will. This is the way I'm lining up my day tomorrow. God first. Being passionately instilled to make new commitments to pursue God's heart in your life. Because if every one of us is doing that, and then we come together like this, it's going to be an awesome, awesome chase. God can break through. One way we're going to have an opportunity to do that as a body, just to get more details to come, but as you know, January of every year, we fast as a church. We fast in the new year for a few weeks. It's coming up again. I've already started asking the Lord how he wants me personally to fast and how he wants us as a church. And we'll, like I said, talk about that in the coming weeks. But think about what God is speaking to you this morning. It's not about what you do. It's about pursuing his heart in what you do. It's not about what you say. It's letting his words speak through you as you chase his heart. Seeing through his eyes, hearing through his ears, feeling with his heart, knowing with his mind, feeling and touching with his hands. This is why we need to pursue his heart. Next week, we'll talk about the how. But right now, would you bow your heads with me? And we just want to leave room for the Holy Spirit to minister right now. Just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Holy Spirit, just touch each person right now. Speak your words of life. We declared in song earlier, here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Speak to us right now, Lord. Reveal your will for us right now in the things we've talked about.